Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us this morning on Twitch. Search for the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. 4th of July weekend, a lot to get to. Both baseball teams practicing today. They practiced yesterday. Things are going on for Major League Baseball and the Cubs and the White Sox in this city. And Abdallah, we have a champion in hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut once again rising above the rest.
Well, he set a record. Always take the over in hot dog eating contest. You always take the over.
I mean, the record before was 74. Now it's 75. Well, one more dog.
That's all you need.
So I mean,
to have the most dogs, right?
I mean, I think there is something specific that we need to get into with this because, you know, with all these sports coming back, hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July,
please relate the hot dog eating contest to the return of sports,
well,
please.
Well, here's how we have it. First of all, I need to ask this question. It's a serious question.
Probably not.
Should there be an asterisk placed next to the 75 dogs consumed by Joey Chestnut?
Why?
Well, I mean, let's go over many of the facts here. When we look at it, we've talked about it with baseball and the NBA.
Yeah.
Without fans there in the stadium, in the arena, is that justifiably adding an advantage to someone consuming the dog like Joey Chestnut? Could he get to that 75th dog because there are no fans there heckling, cheering, good, bad, otherwise? Fans. Second, it was inside. There's no wind. There's no wind when you're inside, Abdallah. The elements are not there. We've seen this before. It's usually outside. No wind. No elements. It was held inside in pristine conditions due to COVID-19. And then if you go to ESPN.com, here's the article. At the very bottom of the article, so it talks about Joey Chestnut winning 13 of 14 championships with the hot dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to the bottom of the article. And it says, the last time Chestnut lost his competition in 2015, Matt Stoney, who wasn't able to compete this year because of travel restrictions. Another competitor could not travel there due to COVID-19 and the pandemic. Therefore, shouldn't this be an asterisk? The hot dog championship. This is something I want to get your opinion on.
Should
there be an asterisk?
To address your first point about the fans.
Yeah, no fans.
The fans would have propelled him to 80 dogs.
He hasn't in the past because maybe he started off too fast.
Listen, America loves Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut loves America. Last I checked, this was being held in America, and Americans were cheering for him, and they wanted him to beat the record. Everybody wants to see history. You're cheering for history. You're like, Joey, or maybe Chestnut. I don't know how you do it.
I cheer for the dog.
Maybe Joey Chestnut.
What about the hot dogs?
Huh?
Who cheers for the hot dogs?
Vegans.
Oh.
So no, to answer your first question, no. Obviously, no asterisks because of the no fans. Inside only hurts. He's used to it being... Everything you're saying...
Yeah.
Makes the championship and the record that much better. He's out of his element.
Someone who has beaten him in the past couldn't even get there because of the travel restrictions.
Listen, if you wanted to get there, you could have... If this is your Super Bowl, right? Think of it this way.
Yeah.
They're in a bubble, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why couldn't Stoney be there? What travel restrictions? What did it say? Did he need to quarantine for 14 days? Was he not allowed to travel? Is he at risk?
Listen,
what is it? What's the reason?
I'm not
What's
a dog-eating competitive person here consuming this. So all I see is in the article on ESPN.com, Matt Stoney, who beat Chestnut in 2015, Chestnut going 13 for 14 championships eating the hot dog. Stoney could not be there because of the travel restrictions.
Why? Because I think of it this way.
Let me Google it.
You Google it while I rant. I think
Matt Stoney.
I'm trying to rant here.
Hold on.
I'm trying to rant.
Copy, and then I'm going to go into Google, paste.
You see what I'm trying to? Okay. My point is this. If you are, if an NBA team is in the bubble, and let's say the Lakers don't win the championship and the Bucks win, but the Lakers don't win because LeBron just didn't show up in time and didn't quarantine in time, that's not on the Bucks. That's on LeBron. That's on the Lakers. If Stoney could have been there and needed to get there sooner to quarantine, that's on him. That's on Stoney. That's not on Joey Chestnut. No asterisks.
Still reading. I mean, listen, if one of the best competitors can't be there, there's an asterisk.
That's maybe he chose not to compete. That's his own fault.
No.
First of all, that dude wasn't going to come close to 75 hot dogs. Not even close.
No, he can't because of New York's new travel restrictions. He's from San Jose. He couldn't travel there. According to the Action Network.
At all.
Yeah.
So if he would have gotten
He was traveling from out of state, from out of New York State.
I understand that. But we now have travel restrictions here in Illinois. And
I know.
But all you have to do is quarantine for 2 weeks. How about show up earlier? Show up to New York 2 weeks earlier.
Did they place this 2 weeks ago?
I don't know when they place it. That's not my concern.
Well, I'm just saying.
My concern is if you're going to be a competitor, be a competitor. Don't half-ass it if you're going to be a competitor. Don't be like, oh, I can't do it because of travel restrictions. Do you think LeBron's not going to show up to the bubble because of travel restrictions? No, he's showing up early. He's showing up early, quarantining, practicing. Come on. What is this?
To be honest, I think getting to the NBA bubble is a little bit different than single guys trying to get to the hot dog eating competition.
Is the Nathan's hot dog eating contest not the Super Bowl of eating contest?
Yeah,
it's more important.
Yeah, I mean, for major league eating, it is.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
So is this
the
not
MLE,
his great?
Yeah.
If Stoney would have set this record, would this not be his greatest achievement?
No, I mean, he's already beat Chestnut, so I think
he's beat him once.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
Once.
So it would be a second time around.
Okay, but he's beaten him once. First of all, why do you hate America?
What do you mean? I'm pro-America.
You want to put an asterisk on America?
No, I just think that we had a major competition yesterday. Here's how it sounded.
Are you trying to change the stars and stripes to the asterisks and stripes?
No,
is that
no,
what you're trying to do?
No, I'm just saying it's interesting that
my house.
You read the article. Chestnut wins again, 13 championships here, eating the hot dogs.
Tyler's shaking his head producing the show today, not in my house.
We're at a point now where one of the people who has beaten Chestnut on the pad, just a little easy championship.
You,
no conditions inside. No fans, competitors who are also there, not there because travel restrictions, easy championship. I get it. It's cool.
I think you are mad because greatness was achieved yesterday. I think you you probably lost money because you bet the under and now you and now
underdogs.
Yeah. And now you are you're a little hurt. You're a little hurt emotionally and physically by this.
In case you missed it, here is Joey Chestnut consuming a lot.
What's the audio of this going to sound like?
Of hot dogs.
68 hot dogs and buns as we near the final minute of competition. 74, his own number to beat on this one.
I don't know.
Hold on, stop it. Stop, 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 stop. Start that again and make sure you listen to what's going on in the background. Is there clapping? Is there cheering? I believe that there's a crowd. Not a full crowd. You're not a Coney Island. You're not that full.
Have you ever seen it before?
I have. Yes. Many a time.
This is like the Bears playing at Soldier Field and then going and playing at a high school where there's only 16 people there.
Is there cheering?
68 hot dogs and
sounds like cheering.
As we near the
I rest
final
my case.
Minute of
the defense rests.
74, his own number to beat on this one.
I don't know if it's an absence of crowd. It's a heck of a lot of hot dogs, you know, but
absence
Joey Chestnut,
of crowd.
You know, people put periods
people cheering.
Even the commentators mentioning it.
It's very late, but I'm going to do it verbally now. Joey Jaws Chestnut, greatest athlete in the world. It's made manifest today if he takes this title. Don't at me.
The Glizzy Gladiator loads up for the final run here, topping 70 hot dogs and buns for the fifth time, the only man to do so, and he has now done it five times as we near 30 seconds.
The Joeyest of all time with 72. Greeton holding tight there for a second spot.
I'll count it down. 20 now, 20 seconds.
looking for the countdown, which the competitors actually couldn't hear in the women's contest. At the end, George going to give Joey the leg up here.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Put down your hot dogs on 75.
Some things change, some remain the same.
75 hot dogs and buns, a world record. 75.
Unofficial 75.
75.
And
that
you
would
hear
be a record.
George Shea, the unofficial 75 hot dogs and buzz. Joey Chestnut, your 13-time now.
Just
Nathan's famous champion.
The pace is unbelievable. He just keeps driving.
Okay, Michael Jr. there on ESPN, the hot dog eating contest. Mm-hmm. Joey Chestnut wins it. I think we have to throw an asterisk on it.
I think I'm going to throw an asterisk on you.
Listening to that audio, you also hear commentators throughout mentioning the crowd, lack thereof. And
you could hear cheering.
Okay, yeah, for the people who are in attendance.
You could hear the weird hip trance music that was playing
in the background. It's like you're selecting a character in a video game before you're actually going to play.
Yeah.
You know, it's the screen where it shows all the options.
And you're changing, like, jerseys, and you're trying to get different skins and stuff, you know? Is that what they call it on Fortnite? It's a skin, right,
yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
Yep, well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Those cost money, right?
But, like, they're all, like, standing in this ready pose, but they're kind of moving.
Yeah.
Like they're...
Yeah. We've all seen the memes.
Yes. All right. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You know, the White Sox and the Cubs yesterday at respective ballparks, both going through their workouts. The Cubs, Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks on the mound for an inter-squad game. On the White Sox side of things, Dallas Keuchel yesterday talking about how he thinks the Sox staff and pitching staffs overall in baseball are going to have the advantage early on. And I think most people would probably agree with that the pitching staffs around Major League Baseball will have the advantage as we head into the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, he mentioned, you know, that they can do some damage in the AL Central because he didn't say that because it's a weaker division, but ultimately it's a weaker division than the Cubs division in the NL Central. But if you look at the Cubs pitching staff and the way that, you know, the injury to Jose Quintana and how they're going to be down a man now, yeah, the advantage might be to the White Sox. Who knows what's going to happen with Kopech? He hasn't shown up yet. So we'll find out if he can, you know, what he can give. But if he's throwing high 90s, you know, and you can get something out of him this year, then absolutely. Like, they've got a decent staff. The hitting's going to be there. It's hot. You don't have to worry about that to begin the season. But it's all, for the Sox, it's going to be a question about pitching. They're always going to be able to hit. But it's going to be about the pitching moving forward into this year.
We hear from Rick Hahn and Theo Epstein next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
I'm Abdallah here with you on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Joey Chestnut yesterday, we'll get to the Chicago Cubs and White Sox in just a minute, some baseball conversation. Well, I mean, listen, we're here for the people. And you can tweet the show at Chris Bleck and at Adam A. Abdallah. John with no H tweets the show. He said in the post-contest interview, Joey Chestnut said the hot dogs were faster than usual because they were cooked better. Or something, probably because of fewer competitors. First, how is a hot dog fast? And second, he agrees with me that there should be an asterisk next to the 13th championship from Joey Chestnut, the 75 dogs that were consumed yesterday in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July weekend. Because there were the lack of fans, the elements were stripped away, they were inside. And some of the competitors could not get to the venue because of travel restrictions due to COVID-19 and the pandemic. So, John from No H, tip of the cap to you, my friend. I agree. If the hot dogs were faster yesterday, if the rate of travel, the speed of the traveling hot dog, it was faster, then I agree. It should be an asterisk. And can you answer John's question? How does a hot dog, how is it fast? How do you get a fast hot dog?
Well, I don't know how you get a fast hot dog. Maybe here's what I think may have happened.
Yeah?
The hot dogs come out wet. Do they boil them? No, they boil them.
Oh, they're all boiled.
Okay, so that's my point. Listen.
No, I'm asking. They are? I think they are. They're not grilled, right?
They're not grilled.
But
no.
Could they be a flat top dog?
I don't think it's a I think these are boiled dogs.
How do they do that? Is it just like a tub? Do they get like a big bathtub?
Individually.
Oh, individually boiled?
One at a time. I think that it's a, they're boiled. And so if you're taking them right from the boiler, from the pot.
Okay.
Stacking them.
Right.
And then taking them to the person, right? I think if you take them outside, the air hits them. Oh. They have a chance to dry.
Wow.
Now,
so
this
way.
So a
slippery dog is fast.
You have slippery dogs. Huh. You get to go faster. But back to you trying to put an asterisk on America.
Well, no. I mean, will agree that the conditions yesterday for this championship, the 13th for Joey Chestnut, not the usual championship.
I'm agreeing.
If you got a faster dog.
Yes, it's the Nathan's hot dog eating Corona contest. I get it. We're in different times here, but you don't start putting asterisks on everything. Are you going to put an asterisk on the NBA championship?
Are all the teams participating that we expect? Do we get to a point where the Clippers have to pull out of the competition because half their roster has COVID-19?
First of all, I think it's actually harder to win a championship this year. Have you seen Zion Williamson? He looks like before I joked that he looked like a monster. Now he legit looks like a monster.
Yeah, ripped.
It's going to be harder to beat him.
Yeah.
It's harder to win this year. No asterisks. In fact, what's the opposite of an asterisk? Can you have like a negative asterisk?
No, you bold.
It's actually harder.
It's bold.
Okay.
You
italics?
Yeah.
Okay.
You make it bold.
There you go.
Championship.
It's harder to win this year.
Okay.
It's harder to win. You saw Chris Bryant playing grounders, fielding grounders with a mask on. It's harder to win this year. It's going to be harder for the NBA to finish. It's going to be harder for the NHL to finish. All these conditions. The NFL, harder. College football, harder.
Gideon chimes in on Twitter at Chris Bluck and at Adam A. Abdallah.
Good morning, Gideon.
I'm not in support of asterisks. You can't really ever control the elements of any competition 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens,
it happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
That's what sports is about.
If you tweet me that you're going to put an asterisk on there, I'm going to put an asterisk on you. How about that?
Well,
you're at Chris Bluck asterisk.
Well, don't put that on me.
I am. Trying to put an asterisk on America.
No, I'm just looking. I'm reading through the story.
Land of the free.
I'm just pointing out
home
that
of the brave.
Seems like it wasn't necessarily
no
the normal competition.
No asterisk.
Okay.
I'm going to get you a mask that's just an asterisk.
That's fine. It'll look cool. Kind of like a spider on my face. Bluck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Rick Hahn yesterday talking about the White Sox heading into the summer camp and into the season.
Very pleased with where the guys reported in terms of their physical readiness. Obviously, at this point, we're still limited to doing some drills and some live BP and very limited baseball activities for the first few days as we start ramping things up. So it's going to, over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to learn more about exactly where guys are, you know, how effective what they've been able to do somewhat in isolation over the last few weeks or months has gone. But as we sit here today, certainly very pleased with how everyone has shown up thus far. What we've tried to do here was never about one specific season. It was about building something for the long term and building something sustainable. So whatever progress we're able to get out of the course of a workout, out of an exhibition game, out of the course of the season, and hopefully the postseason in 2020 is excellent, but it's all geared towards putting us in the best position for the long term. So any hiccups we have along the way in 2020, which are going to be inevitable given the time that we're all experiencing right now, is something that we're going to be flexible and deal with and hopefully get through flawlessly. But we're no point are we going to lose focus on the fact that this is about putting the guys in the best position for the long term, and we're going to reap as many positives as we can over the course of the next few months.
So that's Rick Hahn from the Chicago White Sox. And Abdallah, when I look at the White Sox in this situation, 60 games, go out and try and bust it from the start. And if you get off to a hot start, say in the first 15 to 20 games, you're in the top of the league, or if everyone's just piled in together, I see over the course of a full season, I would have been in the camp of suggesting that the White Sox could get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it, like, in those first 15 games, if you win four, you're done.
Yeah, that's it.
If you win 10, you might be able to withstand that to the end, because it doesn't really matter. Like, this, it's so short. You just have to take advantage of it early. And if the young players, especially in the lineup, like if Moncada starts off hot, if we get like Tim Anderson starts off hot, mm-hmm. and these guys carry the lineup for multiple weeks at a time, just start things off. And if the pitching rotation is fine, which I think it will be with the addition of Dallas Keuchel in the mix, now you have a veteran arm in the bullpen. Like, I think things could work out for the Sox, but Rick Hahn has a perspective of, if things work out for us, that would be cool. But really, this is about the future down the road, not as much about the 60 games in front of us this summer.
Rick Hahn has always been, I hate to say, like, trust the process, but he's been a part of, like, he's been running this plan, right? He's been working this plan this entire time. They haven't deviated from the plan. They had a chance. They could have spent a lot of money on some very high-priced free agents. They didn't. They made offers, but ultimately they said, you know what? Not our route. Last year, this offseason, they did spend a lot of money. They spent it wisely, though. They got one of the best, if not the best, defensive catchers in the game. You spend your money wisely. Everybody thinks that this year is the year that the White Sox, like you said, make the playoffs. If you win a round, if you win two rounds, oh, overachieving. All right, cool. But most of the part, if we were saying that this was a real year, this was a 162 full baseball season, no asterisks, you would say that next year was going to be the year that the White Sox were going to be really good. Like, they were going to be the next hot young team next season. And I think that you'll know who teams are in the first 2 weeks of the season. Like you mentioned, if you have a bad start to the first 2 weeks, you're out of it. Jeff Passan said earlier this week, if you lose your first three games, you might be done. This is going to be like, every game is going to be like a football season. You know, you have to win every single game, or you have to at least be in every single game to be competitive. Because if you lose, like you said, five out of your first seven, you're done. That's it. That's the season. Now, you have a chance to rebound, obviously. Nothing's, you know, set in stone. But ultimately, teams are going to act as if that first week, those first 2 weeks, is like almost half a season, because you're going to have teams, there's a trade deadline coming. You're going to have teams that want to sell off pieces. You're going to have the teams that are going to want to shed a lot of money. Who knows if other teams are going to want to pick up those players or trade for those players to pick up more contracts and pick up more money. Ultimately, you're going to have a situation where the White Sox are just going to kind of stay where they are, get their guys some work, hopefully make the playoffs this year. They're in a weaker division, so they have a chance to do that. If they, you know, go on a run in the playoffs, good for them. If not, the plan, like Rick Hahn has said, is for next year. Like, that's the plan. They're just kind of progressing and moving forward. They're all young. They're going to be good. Next season is the year for the White Sox.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that you kind of pointed to is, like, as you head into this season, one bad week could eliminate those hopes. But for a team like the White Sox, it's not really a make or break year, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, even if you get off to that slow start, you could be sitting there, say, 5-15, completely out of it. Say everything went south from the get-go. You could still find some hope in the rest of the season by playing competitive baseball to the end, because really it's about next year and the year beyond. Like, you can still find a silver lining in that. Like, if you're the Cubs, though, and that's the type of start you get off to, that's going to be a major panic situation.
Well, what do you start doing then? Do you start trading pieces? Do you start shedding these contracts of guys you know who aren't going to re-sign or you won't afford, won't be able to re-sign? Do you trade Chris Bryant? Do you move on from Javi Baez? What do you do? Like, the Cubs are in a completely different situation. They seem to be at the end of that window almost. The Sox are just starting.
Well, right. And you know, if we look at these two teams in 60 games, I actually like the Cubs a little bit more. Some of that having to do with the pressure of knowing that they have to get it done now. Mm-hmm. They can't wait. And I think David Ross knows that. I think the front office knows that. I think everyone kind of knows that with the Chicago Cubs hanging into this. The difference, though, is time, right? Because what we were just talking about, the White Sox have time. The Cubs do not have time. So in that first 15 games, the must-win games to get things kicked off here, you have to go out and perform. Mm-hmm. And the lineup has to give you some pop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at what the Cubs have. They can't wait for a pitcher to finally find his groove, right? Like if Darvish gets off to a slow start, if Lester, for some reason, gets off to a slow start, it's all going to be an issue. So we'll hear from Buster Olney and Jeff Passan. Cubs or the White Sox? Who is better equipped for a 60-game schedule? We'll hear it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
We will hear from Buster Olney and Jeff Passan in just a moment here on ESPN 1000. Theo Epstein the other day talking about new Cubs manager David Ross managing in his first season in a shortened season in Major League Baseball.
On top of everything else, the first year manager faces, he has an additional burden now to lead the way as far as compliance with these, with the health and safety protocols, and create a culture in which players are looking out not only for themselves but for each other and all of us and all of our families as well. And that's something that I think he's qualified to do based on his track record of leadership and how the players feel about him. So he's raring to go. I think he understands the breadth of the job, and that it's maybe even a little bit broader a job and more impactful job now than it was, you know, before the pandemic hit, and certainly up for the challenge. And I will say about the responsibility, that's something that we all have. You know, it's not up to one manager or one club president or anything. Every single person in the organization, every player, every staff member, everyone in uniform, out of uniform, we all have to make great decisions, exercise great discipline, hold each other accountable, collaborate, go into it with an open mind, and exercise real personal and collective responsibility if we're going to play a baseball season while ensuring everybody's health along the way.
So that's Theo Epstein the other day talking about David Ross and the Cubs hanging into this season. If I asked you, Abdallah, the question, which team is better equipped for the 60-game schedule, which one would you pick?
I think I would say the Cubs, if you were to ask me that question, hypothetically speaking, of course. I think it's the Cubs because I think that there's something to be said about experience and knowing what... I'm not saying that like the White Sox don't know that they need to win, but ultimately, the Cubs, being older, being veterans in Major League Baseball, know how to set themselves up for this 60-game run for the last, you know, quote, 2 months of the season or whatever it's going to be, right? And I think that the pitching staff, while they may not be as deep as the White Sox, I still think you have three better pitchers overall in Lester, Yu Darvish, and Kyle Hendricks. And then if they have to use, you know, Albert Alzolay, or they have to use whoever it is to come up with a fourth starter and then use guys in relief or whatever it is, I think that it's going to be the pitching is better. Overall, I think they're in a tougher division, but I think they're built better for a 60-game stretch for a postseason run just because of the experience. Like, if you still look at the names on paper, right, you still have Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, Jason Hayward defensively. Like, these are all guys that are all-stars. Like, these are all guys, and then plus Lester, Hendricks, Yu Darvish, you know, Wilson Contreras. These are all guys that are veterans. These are all guys that are all-stars. These are all guys that are proven. So I think that they're set up better for a real quick, like, tournament, not tournament style, but you know what I mean, like a 60-game stretch.
Yeah, it's unusual, right?
Yeah.
I also look at the back end, right? Your closer, Craig Kimbrell.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting from Kimbrell at age 32 now that he has been with this team for over a year? You know, a lot of the concern and conversation last year was about how Kimbrell wasn't ready to go. He was down pitching in Miami to high school players, and David Ross goes down. He does the scout, says Kimbrell's ready to go. Fangraphs projects Kimbrell to have an ERA of 3.58, 12 saves, 24 innings pitched for this season, 17 hits, 12 walks, 35 strikeouts. You know, Alex Colomé for the Sox, Kimbrel for the Cubs. I don't know. I mean, is Kimbrel going to be dominant in this shortened season? Because I feel like the back end is going to be obviously just as important, but managers are going to have to use their bullpen almost like it's a playoff atmosphere, mm-hmm. trying to line things up and get out of games when you do get those good performances early. And each game is so important that you can't just say, okay, well, we'll get them again tomorrow, because if that happens one too many times, you may then have to say, we'll get him again next season if that's the case.
Well, it's a playoff-like bullpen situation, but also you have the three-batter minimum. So how are you going to maneuver a three-batter minimum with a pitcher and, you know, work matchups? Like, if you're in a close game and you're coming down late in the season and you want to go, you know, switch up, like, you have to navigate. And David Ross, who has never done this before, is going to have to navigate new rules. Now, it might be a little bit easier because he doesn't have to deal with double switches because you can use the DH now. But ultimately, you still have to figure out, okay, if I bring a pitcher in, he's going to have to face the next three batters, or he's going to have to walk a guy, and that puts him in a difficult situation if he just wants to move on from a batter and try to get a double play or whatever it is. Ultimately, it's going to be harder, no asterisks.
Buster Olney from ESPN joined Cap and Company earlier this week with Jesse Rogers and me, Chris Bleck, sitting in for Cap. Which team is better equipped for the 60-game season, the Cubs or the White Sox?
And I think the context for the respective teams is really important. You know, the National League Central is highly competitive, and on the other hand, if you're the White Sox, is a third of your games are against the Tigers and the Kansas City Royals. That would seem to be a real advantage, which is why I think in a 60-game schedule, I look at the White Sox as being more dangerous because of the nature of their division. A big question, I think, is going to be about the Cubs, even if they played 162 games. Okay, what's the nature, the quality of their starting pitching? That's going to be underscored with this sporadic training schedule that we've had this year, with a starting pitchers got ramped up into mid-March, and then they close it down. I've heard from managers that they think that the starters, as they return, are going to be somewhere in the range of 45 to 60 pitches. That's going to be a challenge for a rotation that's older.
So that's Buster Olney from Cap and Company earlier this week. Jeff Passan gives his answer to the Cubs or the White Sox. Which team do you favor?
I think it probably, if I'm going to pick between the two of them, favors the Cubs. And I don't think by a lot. I think they're actually going to be pretty similar this year in terms of success. But I also look at the number of young players that the Sox have and the expectations that they have. And I don't always trust the ability of young teams to step up in the moment. I almost feel like they have to, you know, wear it a little bit before they understand what winning looks like. I mean, real winning. Like, being over 500, which is well within the realm of possibility with the Sox, is all well and good. But being a championship-caliber team, I mean, I think we saw this with the Cubs, right? You know, they stepped up. They were good. Then they got great. And I think the White Sox, especially with this very weird season that we've got right now, there's going to be a lot of guys, I worry, who press. And I understand the pressing. It's because every game is worth about three times as much as it typically is. It's because a five-game losing streak is equivalent to like a 14-game losing streak in a regular season. When you look at it that way, baseball is suddenly going to look a lot more like the NFL than it does baseball, where if you lose three games to start the season, your season is more or less done. Like, you can recover from it, but it's going to take an enormous effort to do so. And I think we're going to get that urgency for the first time in baseball, and it's going to be very interesting to see what it does to people on a daily basis, because unlike the NFL, you don't have a week between games to figure things out. You're back out there the next day. And in baseball, if you have lost your swing, if your command is off as a pitcher, that's something that takes time to recover. And whereas in a normal season, you have a month to figure it out. A month is half the season now in baseball. And that is, you know, that really squeezes, puts a vice on some of these players.
So that's Jeff Passan from Cap and Company. And the one thing to note there, right, half the season is a month. Jose Quintana may not be available for the Cubs till we get to the second half of this 60-game season.
Quintana might not be available for the Cubs. Just end it there. Quintana might not be available for the Cubs.
Perhaps, and that's a big blow to that rotation, because even if you're someone that wants to say he's not as good as what the Cubs thought they were getting when they made the trade for him from the White Sox, he's still a damn good fourth starter. At worst, he's a really good fifth starter, and you're going to need that to get through this schedule. You're going to need that to get to the playoffs, especially if you're using all these built-in bullpen days to limit the guys who can't really go much past six innings to begin with to start this year.
Well, and let's say the Cubs do get to the playoffs, and that's when we could see, you know, Jose Quintana, could he be a guy that comes out of the bullpen in the playoffs? Like, you have that X factor then, where you have a guy who's a starting pitcher being able to come out of your bullpen. Like, he could be a great asset. It's just a matter of, you have no idea, he's not even going to pick up a baseball for 2 weeks. So then he's got to start this whole throwing program. Like, you might not see Jose Quintana for a while.
One of our favorite segments, Good Question, is coming up next. And Abdallah hit me with a golf ball yesterday on the golf course.
Sorry.
We talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You can download the podcast of today's show on the ESPN Chicago app. You can find all of our Black and Abdallah podcasts on the ESPN Chicago app, and you can also search for them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever podcasts are sold.
Well, they're free. It's a free podcast.
It's like saying wherever books are sold.
No,
just
I know.
I'm
just making sure it's a free podcast.
Every time.
Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Each time at this time each week, we have our favorite segment of the week. It's called Good Question, where we score the host here at ESPN 1000. And the way you score points is when you have a guest on the phone and you ask a question and the guest responds a good or great question, you score a point. So in 2020, what does our leaderboard look like today?
So Tom Waddle's in the lead with 24.
Waddle.
Jonathan Hood coming in second with 23, and David Kaplan in third with 22. Now, Waddle was off all week. Cap only worked a day this week, so the opportunity is there. The opportunity for leaderboard movement is there.
So, a tight race at the top for our Good Question tournament for this year in 2020. Who cares about the pandemic? Good Question carries on. I'm just saying.
Like, I mean, a lot of people care about the pandemic.
Well, yes.
We all care about
But when
pandemic.
It comes to asterisks in sports,
no.
It does not qualify.
No.
This is a true competition.
This is.
Here's today's edition of Good Question.
Yeah, I got a question for. Can I get an answer?
You're going to take any question?
Do you want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Can I get it in?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Yeah, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Here's this week's edition of Good Question.
And along those lines, as you said, you were born and raised there,
yeah.
And neither at Mississippi State or Ole Miss, that flag hasn't flown there since, I think, 2015 or 2016.
Sneaky high total for goalie this year.
Why did this 14. Happen now,
doing
and
well.
Why didn't this happen sooner?
Yeah, it's a great question.
As far as baseball
back to back.
The play on the field,
back to back.
Jerry, I'm
Golic.
Wondering.
Senior, I'm saying 2018 he had
season,
two,
really
2019 he had four, he has 15 right now.
So you see him a lot of the same people over and over
PEDs.
Again. What will be more of an advantage?
QEDs, pitching, question-enhancing drugs?
That's a good question.
Do you feel that Major League Baseball is giving you guys enough time to ramp up for this 60-game schedule?
I think for that's a great question.
What do you think the threshold is then as like a society
for us to have baseball?
You know, how many players need to get signed?
I ain't that smart. I have no idea. And I noticed that, you know, that that's a great question.
Can you be in proximity to the pitchers? Like, how do you have to, be careful around them?
Not allowed.
That's a good question.
Now, how do you do a weigh-in for this?
Chauncey!
I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I think I can be convinced either way by a compelling argument, so I'll ask you what your thoughts are.
What a week.
Chris Bryant's, most Cubs fans are well aware that this is likely going to be, you know, he's got two seasons left on his contract, or at least the Cubs control over him. So I'm curious, the finances surrounding baseball right now, do you think it's more or less likely that Chris Bryant signs a long-term deal with the Cubs when his current contract is up?
That's a good question.
See, what happens
is you get a Black and Abdallah back to back, and then you get a Chauncey. And if you don't know, it's Chauncey's Great Outdoors Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Chauncey gets in there with a good question. And then we get Jesse Rogers with his good question. What a week for good question.
You know what this is like? This is like that episode of Lost where you find out what happens to the back half of the plane. It's all the other characters. You're like, oh, wait, yeah, those guys. Okay.
Lost at sea. Black and Abdallah getting on the board. Jesse's there. Chauncey's there. Wow, what a week for good question.
So we need to do some investigating into Golic Sr., I think.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's gone from 2 to 4 to 15.
Hey, listen. If you're looking at stats year to year.
Questionable.
Yeah, something's going on there.
A little suspect.
Something's going on there. Wow, what a week for good question. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. So yesterday we were playing golf, Abdallah and I, and on the sixth hole at Bray Lock, Abdallah hit me with a,
what were you using, a fairway wood? No, so just,
what
so
was it,
I
almost, three iron? What did you skull?
I almost killed
right
you.
Right at me?
I almost killed you. So let's
what
set
were
the
you
scene.
Hitting?
Let's set the scene, okay? I'm facing the hole, okay? I'm facing the hole.
As most would
as
do.
As most
yes.
would do. I'm facing the green. I'm about to hit, I believe it was an 8-iron. No way.
You were in the, it was a par 5, and it was your second shot.
It was a par 5. Okay, so probably a 4-iron. 4-iron. 4-iron.
Hot.
Trying to get close to the green, right? And you're standing about 20 yards to my right, and about 5 yards up. So you're at a little bit of a diagonal, little bit, slight diagonal, but mostly to the right of me. And I swing for the fences, and this ball goes for, I didn't take physics in high school. I went to art school.
I don't know how
the ball went perpendicular and went directly into you. And it hit you on the arm just below the elbow. And a foot high, foot and a half higher, you're dead. Easily, you're dead.
You know, it's...
And you weren't looking, luckily, because I think if you were, it would have hit you, like, right in the chest. It probably would have cracked a rib. It would have hit you right in the chest.
I would have taken it off the chest.
Well, yeah.
Like a hardo. I would have...
But you've got a nice little...
Right up.
A nice little welt, luckily, about an inch away from the elbow.
Well, it's the meat of the forearm right below the elbow is where it hit.
Uh-huh.
And immediately shooting pain down my forearm.
It probably hit a nerve.
Shooting pain up into my bicep.
Definitely hit a nerve.
I ran down the fairway shaking my arm like, you know the hop that you do when you hit your funny bone?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't hit the funny bone.
No, luckily.
But the pain was there. So I was like hopping down the fairway shaking my arm.
I felt so bad. I felt it was.
But
it
you're right. If that would have been a foot higher,
I
would have been dead.
You're dead.
Because you hit that so hard that not only did I not see it coming, I heard it coming towards me because you know that sound the ball makes when it travels through there? I heard that right before it hit me in the arm, and that's the noise it made right into my forearm.
Dude,
I immediately went,
I felt so bad, but at the same time, it was the funniest thing in the world. Like, we were dying laughing because, like, we knew he was okay. Obviously, an inch down, and I could have shattered his elbow.
When I was running down the fairway, I could tell that the bone was not damaged.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell that that was a meat. You got the meat there.
Luckily.
Oh,
I mean, any other spot on you, I could have cracked a rib. I could have shattered your elbow. I could have hit you. I guess up on the bicep would have been fine, too, like up there.
Like, you would have been fine. If you hit me in the face, that would have been that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I could have shattered your face. Dead. Now, to be fair, though, we didn't think it was possible, but about 10 holes later, your brother-in-law did the same thing with on his drive. And we're like, what are the physics of this? Why does this keep happening? And why do they keep going near Chris?
I think the ball went backwards. I don't know how someone could tee off facing forward and the ball goes backwards. But listen, I know Abdallah takes his practice wins. I'm standing there enjoying the day, and all of a sudden I hear right into my arm.
I'm so sorry. I felt so bad. I almost killed you. And this would have been a solo show today. This would have had a lot different tone. This would have been a very special episode of Bleck and Abdallah.
As we say goodbye to Chris Bleck.
We just play
death on the golf course.
We play all your good questions.
All one of them from this year. We salute you.
You get the with the eyes of an angel. Good question.
Just right into my forearm.
At the end.
Unbelievable.
We play the Mario dying at the end.
And there he was on the golf course. We say goodbye. We talk baseball next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Back in two.